Today, the guest is Fred Armisen. He's here in the flesh. I'm touching him in a church. He's going to tell a story. Here we go.
What's happening today? What are you thinking about when you're walking down the street? Is your head in a cloud? Don't you want to know what's going on? Let's go. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Let's check in with Mary Lynn.
Fred. Hey, Fred.
Hi, how's it going? So we're both making sure that we're near the microphone. We're in a church that's been converted into a performance space. We're in Columbus, Ohio, on this tour. And Mary Lynn told me, she's like, well, what you do is you tell a story.
That's right.
So.
That's exactly right. Do you have any stories?
So I thought, well, I don't want to tell the story of performing or anything like that. And I thought, something that I always think is like a major occurrence in my life is having been mugged at knife point. Because something about that has nothing to do with like show business or performance. It's like a weird thing that happened. So it's happened twice.
I just pictured you going into like,
hey.
A dance move when you were getting mugged.
It's happened a couple of times. It happened once for me in Chicago. And I was on the L. I had moved to Chicago. This is like 1988 or 89. And I was on this L stop. And it was very late at night. And a guy just sort of calmly walked up to me. And he...
So at that moment, you're not like thinking
anything. No. I was too young to know like what's dangerous and what's not dangerous. Since then, I've gained a little street smarts. Can we call it street smarts?
We can call it street smarts.
And he sort of asked me what time it was, and then he like sort of, he was strangely like kind of polite. He produced a knife, and he said that this is a stick-up. He called it a stick-up.
He did not.
He did. This is a stick-up, and I was like, sure, and I had so little money, so I just handed over what I had in my wallet, and then we both stayed at the L stop, and then he gave me back my wallet. So I think he surmised that I just didn't have a lot of money,
You must have looked like you had a lot of money. Were you dressed like Prince?
I was dressed like Prince. But that was like my first entryway into like, oh, this is what it's like to get mugged. I might have only had $5 at the most. Remember those days of only having like $5 or $4?
Yeah.
Or going to the ATM and...
For me, that was in San Francisco. I don't know if the mic's working. I feel like it's only picking up on your side.
No, there you are.
That's why I am making excuses for how close I'm getting to the mic, because we're sitting very close together. For me, it was in San Francisco, where you would get a burrito, and that would be your meal for the entire day. I remember indulging in like a latte in a cafe, and then I would just sit there for hours, and that would be my only thing for the beginning of the day until I got the burrito at lunch. And then I would eat the other half of the burrito for dinner. And then I would go to the bar to watch open mic poetry, and I would drink like a half a beer. So that would be like my diet. I would have a latte, a burrito, and then like one beer at night. And I'd be like, woo, because I didn't have much food in my stomach.
For me, it was when I was in New York growing up, and if I had enough money for a slice of pizza and a Coke, like, okay, I did it. This is my dinner. Yay, I survived.
And the logic is I'm thinking like counterintuitive to like now, where you're like, oh, just cook at home. But at that time, you didn't really, it was like roommates, the place I lived. There was no thought, in other words, of like, oh, I'm going to cook at home. that just never happened, because there'd be like a sink full of dirty dishes and a dirty sponge, and I just lived with these people that I didn't really know, and I kind of got into that situation, and I didn't know who bought the sponge or who washed the dishes or whose dishes they were. So I just avoided the kitchen and, you know, got the burrito.
You didn't do anything like canned spaghetti or anything?
I don't remember that.
Oh, God, I totally did that, you know.
I guess.
Put it in a little pot.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Soup, canned soup.
But remember early ATMs?
What about them?
I remember...
The ones that were made out of wood?
Yeah. Clay and wood, like the buttons are made out of clay.
Yeah.
But I remember, like, do I have $20?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think
I do.
And
then if it dips and then they start charging you, you're just like,
yeah.
Oh,
I don't have
great.
Anything. So then, the next time I got mugged was when my band was on tour in Europe and we played in Amsterdam. And I had the band money on me. And I was I was with my girlfriend at the time. And this is during the day in like the main square. It was like daylight and crowded. And a guy was walking in front of me. And he turned around and he smiled, which is very sort of disarming. And he turned and smiled and he said, do you speak English?
Oh, no.
And I walked right into him. And then he grabbed me by the sort of, I guess the lapel you call it? You know, side
the
of
scruff.
My... Yeah, scruff.
Scruff of your collar. He picked you up like a kitten.
He pulled me close and then he, his English was not good. So he's like, I think he said, what the hell is going on? And he pulled also a knife on me. Very scary. I don't like having... The idea of a blade at your gut is really scary. And he really shook me around. And this is in front of everybody, but it just happened so fast that all I could do is take out all this money and just hand it over to him.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot, but it was also not a lot. You know, I don't think we made much money. It was 200, what was it, guilders then or something? And then, this is before the euro.
What does he do? He runs away?
I can't remember. But I went to the police, and it was a really futuristic experience. They really had, like, computer composites of people's faces, and I gave them a description. So that was, like, a real trip into Europe, you know, like, dealing with the police there. And I... have had, it's a very, like, I remember afterwards I had very violent thoughts against that person of revenge, because you just feel so violated.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, I was just so mad, and I was like...
But it catches up to you after, that's freaky.
Yeah.
But in the moment, do you have that, this is so scary because there's people around, but it happened anyway.
He's so good at his job that he knows.
He knows the dynamic that people are going to be caught off guard.
Exactly.
Like,
and I'm not going to scream.
And I'm not saying you. I'm saying the general human. Why wouldn't you go, hey, he's robbing me? Like, it's such a weird.
He knows.
You just fall into what's happening.
Yeah.
To not be stabbed in that moment.
Yes.
But then if he did stab you, there would be people around.
He just knew how I was going to act.
Yeah.
Which is, I just wanted to get through it and just...
Yes.
Quickly just have it over with. Plus, I'm in a foreign country. That sort of makes you afraid in general. You're just not in your element.
Yeah.
You're not... And afterwards... You think, oh, I could have been such a tough guy and done this and grabbed his wrist and all that stuff. But when you're scared, all that stuff goes out the window. There's no...
And when he saw you, like you said, he knows his job. So he knows, he's probably like, all right, I'm going to get like at least $50 off this guy.
Yeah, you could just tell. I'm looking around, you know, I'm walking slow or whatever. And it was just... and he was quick and and like tough enough that, because he was a bigger guy.
Right. And when someone comes out of nowhere and is physically touching you.
And a knife is like the scariest thing to see. A knife is like, it'll only take 1 second for him to, even if he doesn't kill me, to hurt me.
Ugh.
You know what I'm saying? A blade can do so much damage. So it was, but I really was, it was like, it was traumatic, you know, that much fear. And then the whole police thing was great. I just loved being like, wow, I'm really with European police right now. You know? Like, police officers and customs agents in other countries are, to me, so cute. You know, because, like...
Did they have a little hat?
They had little like hats and little, like, or whatever, like, little uniforms. But, like, in New York, I'm just used to, how tough, and, you know, a New York cop. Oh, well, this guy... But as soon as you're in Europe, like, oh, a little blue shirt. The entryway into the police station is, you know, a little, you know, cute.
I like that you've just been assaulted, but you're still able to appreciate adorableness of the police.
Yeah, everything... When you go to other countries, they just don't realize that. Like, they think they're being tough, but they're adorable. Like, you'll see a construction site, and they're like, "We're construction workers," and I'm like, "Oh, your little orange helmets." Like, they have smaller versions, and like, they're cleaner. Like a little orange vest. I'm like, "Oh, you guys are building something." I know.
What do you think that is? Because they're so civilized.
Just because it's like
they're so cultured.
I think
they have a way of life that's been.
Just, I think when you travel, everything just becomes exotic and cute. And so, like, you just notice stuff more. And
I can remember going into these crappy, like in London, crappy little morning cafes mm-hmm. where there'd be business guys and construction guys and just tea, you know?
Yeah.
And they're, but it, yeah, it looks so exotic and adorable to me. And they're just like slugging along, having their like normal morning. And I'm like,
oh, they're so cute.
Look, there's the workers. Yeah. And there's the guy reading his newspaper. He's eating his bangers and mash or whatever. So weird.
Just it's like, so funny. It's
he has baked beans. He's dipping his toasts.
Or Japan is like that too. I'm like, oh, what are they, you know, that's their breakfast. It's so funny. Like, Even customs agents, I feel that way about. Like, I'm like, oh, you're protecting Iceland. But to me, I'm like, oh my God, this is adorable. I want to, you know, hug all of these customs agents. But I don't know what that is that makes.
Do you feel? I know we're talking about you getting mugged, but do you feel safer there than in America?
No, I feel safer where I know the surroundings more. And here, you know, we're on this tour on the outskirts of Detroit in Pontiac. I had that feeling in my hair. I could feel it. A guy with like a runny nose. I mean, he was a big guy. I was in a sort of art garden.
Yeah.
And it's like animals, like my animal instinct of like, this guy could mug me. Saw me from afar, and he just walked up to me. He asked me for a dollar, and I was like, let's do this on the street, away from this art garden. And he said, I'm not going to hurt you. But I was like, I could feel it. I was like, there's no one around. There's like no cops around or anything.
Also, why are you even think if someone says, I'm not going to hurt you, that means it's in
no,
their
it's
mind.
Bad news. But,
why are you even thinking of that? Why did you think that I thought that, that you might hurt me?
Yeah.
I like how he's offended. Like, oh, take it out to the street. Like, you just asked me for money in, like, an alley art garden.
No, he was definitely... Something could have happened. Although, I saw him later.
Yeah.
Walking down the street.
Suit and tie. Attaché case.
There was, like, a sort of street barrier. And he acted like a little kid and was going to, like... Hopscotch over it. What do you call it? Not hopscotch. Like when you put your
frog
hand.
Jump. Oh,
frog
leapfrog.
Jump. Leapfrog over it. So he tried to leapfrog over it, and then he fell over. But he was alone. He wasn't even impressing his friends. He was that like messed up that he was like, I'm gonna leapfrog over it, like playfully, and then he fell over. And I was like, oh, he's just a mess. But I could tell he was a mess from how his face was just a mess.
But oh, that's interesting. When I don't mean I this is a conversation. I don't mean to like generally categorize, but like someone who is homeless or a mess, and you know he's damaged by you thinking that he's gonna do like it's like, oh yeah, I'm not gonna hurt. Like he's like, I'm already down. You gotta hit me while I'm down. It's like I'm just a person, and I'm recognizing like his attitude about.
Yeah.
How dare you, like, judge me? I mean, I'm reading into it, but I said this on another podcast. It's just this moment, this snippet of Burbank Boulevard in L.A. where I drive my kid every day. It's a big street, and this, like, guy, homeless guy, sitting on the curb with his feet out in the street like this, into the actual street, but just, like, sitting there. And I was trying to wrap my mind around what kind of weird edge you're putting yourself in danger, but your attitude is like, what? This is just how I'm sitting. Like, what kind of messed up are you that you're aggressively putting yourself in harm's way, but your attitude is that it's my fault somehow, or you're mad at the world, so your just legs are full on in traffic because you happen to be just comfortable sitting there.
So was it like he was in danger of a car?
His legs
car
getting
running?
Run over. Oh, geez. Absolutely. Like it would have been very easy if you just were like, didn't, I mean, it definitely catches your eye because someone's yeah. sitting there, but it just as easily you could be looking at the road and not see him. And if your car was, you know, that direction a little bit, weird.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, that doesn't really... That's a far stretch from your guy, but I'm saying that mentality down that... Going down that road of, like, aggressively...
Yeah.
In the world. Aggressively downtrodden.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's almost like... if you have a feeling of self-destruction, if you're like, I don't feel any worth in this life...
Yes.
I'm guessing that...
Yes.
That's part of it, of, like... sort of like you feel so downtrodden that you're like do your
that's
worst.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to like
yeah just like
talk about, not to like generalize about people who are a mess or who, but like the mentality of the road that you go down and then that builds on itself to the point where you're just then like, my legs are in traffic, your problem. Like no, it's not my problem.
Or even drinking a bottle of something in the sense of like, I this is, you know, thinking about other countries, because we were talking about how cute it is, you know, this is like not the same thing as cute, but I was in Santiago, Chile, and there was like, you know, so far away from here, and I saw these sort of businessmen having, you know, a little coffee somewhere, and that was like a different feeling where I was like, what business are they up to? I mean, they are clearly, you know, it's like a... It's a country that's doing economically well. But I just still am like, what is this person's life? Or what is this business that they're doing? So I don't know quite
what
I mean.
Did they take a coffee break?
I'm just
listen,
like,
can I tell you what that reminded me of? I got really excited. Wait, he's in a tie?
Yeah, I'm just like, it's a businessman.
Oh.
And so I picture a businessman in New York or Chicago. But I'm like, what business is happening in Santiago? That's a real question.
For some reason, I didn't catch that it was business. I thought you were saying construction workers.
No.
And I made a whole other story, which is having a coffee.
No.
Because I once saw these construction workers around my block sitting on the grass with a hot plate and a radio.
Mm.
And they were making full-on, like, quesadilla lunch for themselves.
They're enjoying life.
It was the best because all their supplies were kind of like casual or like a little bit run down.
Yeah.
But their quality of life was like rich as fuck, you know?
Yeah.
They're just like, yeah, we're having lunch.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to cook ourselves lunch right next to our work truck sitting on the grass.
Oh,
and we're going to listen to some music. It was so great.
Yeah.
But that's not what you were saying at
all. But it just made me hungry, though. Like, it makes me want to go have quesadillas.
Starving. Always.
Always.
Okay, so wrapping up, what did you learn about... Do you think you'll ever be mugged again?
I learned that some things are, no matter how safe or smart we think we are. You just, there's no preparation for it. There are some things that are out of our control. There's things that are just, you
and
can't
you
predict.
Really, in that moment with the guy, the second one, he definitely could have stabbed you, like, no doubt in your mind.
Even if a little, it would have been a bummer.
Yeah.
So, it's just, I sometimes walk around like a know-it-all, like I think I'm, like, smart and savvy. But you just never know. Like, it just, it doesn't take much to, like, you know, for a crime. I mean, I know, this is just, it's, I feel like dumb saying this, but just that, like, crime doesn't have a logic.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, just make sure you stay out of alleyways. It has nothing to do with that. It's
right.
Like, there have been break-ins in my neighborhood in L.A., and same kind of thing. Everyone's got, there's, you know,
it's such a violation.
There's, like, patrols and stuff, and everyone's got alarms, and it just doesn't matter. People just, criminals are good at their job. So, like, I don't know. So I just, all we can do is hope that nothing happens.
And then, can we also go back to your...
But anyway, if something does happen to me, for criminals out there, I have a safe, and the... If you kill me before you get to the safe, the combination is 31-00-26-40. And the last one, you've got to turn past zero one more time.
So if they kill you, it's like a reward. They would have to find this podcast, get the number.
Because of this podcast, I'm a little bit like, here, you know.
The diamond necklaces that are in your safe.
Yeah, and I have mostly diamond necklaces from my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother, and my grandmother and my mother, because they used to collect diamond necklaces as their hobbies. And they're very valuable. They're extremely valuable. I had them appraised, and the appraiser was like, he just handed it back to me. He's like, consider this the highest appraisal you've ever... I appraised these. This doesn't even get a number.
And then he also gave you a Van Gogh at that time.
Yeah, he's like, take this.
Do you want to give your address and, like, the location of the...
Yes. So I live at the MGM Grand in Culver City that they just built.
Where's the safe located in your house?
Yeah, it's... Well, because the hotel has little houses built on
top. Oh, you're in the residence at the MGM Grand.
Yeah.
On the penthouse?
And they built a little suburban area on the roof.
Oh,
LA, come on.
That's nice.
And it's not big enough for cars, but we have, like, little smart cars that we drive around up there. And then,
is there an infinity pool up there?
Yes.
Okay.
And it goes on for infinity. We should plug infinity pools for this podcast, just to make sure everyone out there. You want a pool? Great. But how would you like a pool where you can't see the end of it? That's right, infinity pools. Look around. You can get one. They're affordable.
More affordable than you can think.
Yeah.
Can you put a price on infinity? No, just like the appraiser and the diamond necklaces and the Van Gogh that he gave Fred just for bringing the diamond necklaces in there.
That's right.
You can't put a price on this type of luxury. But if you had to, I think you'd find that it's really... Maybe I'm not good at plugging it because I just made it sound like you can't afford it. I just want you to know that's the type of luxury you're going to experience. And it really is just a small monthly payment for the infinity pool.
If you swim in an infinity pool, you know how it looks like it goes on forever? It does. You just keep swimming and swimming, and it goes into the abyss.
And then you get swallowed up into the abyss, and you're born again into a whole new universe. So if you want to experience a new you... Like, if you want to start over.
Yeah.
If you're in a position in your life where you're like, fuck these people.
Yeah.
Get into the infinity pool.
I guess if you drown in a pool, it is kind of an infinity pool, right? Like, because you just...
Are we plugging a pool that drowns you?
Those do exist.
The drowning pools?
The drowning pools, yeah. Oh, this is... I'm sorry. I was thinking, though, if someone did break into my house, there's not much value. I'm like, you want a bunch of records and CDs? Good luck carrying them.
Yeah, I don't have anything either.
I mean it. I'm just like...
I believe you.
Because also, my guitars, it's not like... I'm a little bit like, you want a fucking 2012 electric guitar?
Wouldn't they get, like, your, like, a TV, a big TV?
I heard from the guy who does my alarms that they're not of value.
TVs.
Mm. That's not what they're after.
That's not what. What are they after?
I don't know, but
yeah, like people
like
that are
going to
break in. What are they going to get
it's
now?
Those are too big and like they're not of the same value.
Yeah, that's weird, right? What are they looking for?
Laptops. Computers.
Yeah.
And I collect laptops. I collect new laptops.
And your address again is.
I love new laptops. I collect them and I don't open the boxes. I just go to the Apple store and I'm like, ooh, the new 2019 is out. And I get like three different versions.
This is right by your front door, right?
Right by my front door.
Yeah. Sometimes you even leave them on the porch.
That's my storage space is my porch. I love laptops. I don't know. Call me a collector. I'm a nut. I just like those. I just love new laptops just because I'm a collector. Because in the future, I'm going to be like, oh, look, I have a 2019.
Well, look at us. We're going to do the show tonight and be like, hey, we podcasted on the stage.
Yeah. I want to say this tour has been a lot of fun. We've gotten to hang out a lot.
It's the best.
We've like, I'm going to say rekindled our friendship. We know each other like present tense, present day. So it's not like, remember the old days of Largo? We're like, no, we're traveling.
Now.
We remember now. It's great.
We're always going to have our pod life.
Yeah, we have our pod life.
This has been really special for me. For that reason, also wrapped up in that, a rekindled friendship is also, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've been lifted up creatively.
You heard it here.
Because this is like it's really happening, these shows.
It's happening. Happy crowds.
Happy crowds.
How is nice
being
is it
around
to see?
You, being enveloped in your what you've created in these live shows. Because we were talking about last night, even just like your venue choices, like it's all really special. And like I knew a little bit of your history, but getting to know, you know, some of these cities where you have people that you've known for 20 years that are musicians. And this is like your heritage is like you started touring like this.
Yeah.
And now you get to do it as yourself.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Get to see the country, get to meet people.
Because at home, I've been like, and I will continue, like there's a certain like, oh, I'm going along. And I always love my job and it's always great. But like being here is like this special, like it feels like it's a job, but it's also very, I don't want to be see like safe space, but it's just nice. It's like good vibes.
Yeah, it's good
and
vibes.
And you created that, and thank you for having me along.
That's right. I have a copyright on Good Vibes on Tour.
Hashtag Good Vibes come into my infinity pool, forever and ever
and ever
and ever.
Infinity pools, bye.